You're listening to TPN Weekly.
TPN Weekly features the talented podcasters of the Tech Podcast Network.
Each week you get a new host, a new topic, in a whole new way. So get ready for TPN Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Daniel J. Lewis from the award-winning how-to podcast about podcasting and using Audacity. It's over at theaudacitypodcast.com and, of course, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. You're listening to episode 101 of TPN Weekly. In this episode, I'm going to share with you some thoughts about iOS 7. Now, first, you need to understand where I'm coming from in this. I am not an Apple fanboy. If you follow me on Twitter at TheRamenNoodle, you'll see that most of the time during Apple keynotes, I'm the one adding some snarky humor to everything and pointing out certain little things here and there that they say that I just find interesting or ironic. But that being said, I use a Macintosh computer. I have an iPad. I have an iPhone. I have an Apple Time Capsule. I use and recommend Apple products, but I'm not an Apple fanboy. I had an Android phone for quite a while and then moved to iPhone when iPhone 5 came out. And I've been very happy with that decision, but I still think Android is a great platform. I still think Windows is a great platform, as of Windows 7, that is. I'm not sure about Windows 8. But so now Apple has announced the release of iOS 7. And iOS 7 is the operating system that runs their mobile devices, that is iPod Touch, the iPhone and the iPad line of devices. That's all currently that iOS runs on. And it has some very interesting things. And I like the direction it's going. I am a designer. I'm a web designer by trade and design other things too. And so I like some of the aspects of their design, but some of the other aspects of their design, I feel like it's a little cheap. Looking at some of the icons that they're using for the new version of iOS look like they're toys or just that you would see on a cheap website with some animated GIFs. Now that's a couple of them. Some others look great. I think what really gets to me is the white background of some of the icons. Whenever I see a white background on an image, it just looks cheap to me. But that slight thing aside, the typography looks better, yes, but I wonder about how readable is this going to be because the text will now be thinner and how I'm thinking through all these things, but Johnny Ive probably was too when he designed iOS 7 and his team as well. So they've been working through this and testing it, and I hope it goes well. But I do notice some things about iOS 7 that I think what makes iOS 7 amazing or seeming to be amazing when it comes out later this fall in 2013 is it is borrowing so much from Android. The control center. Well, my Android phone was an HTC Thunderbolt, the first 4G LTE phone from Verizon. And since then, I had rooted the phone, installed different ROMs on it, and I loved ROMs that had this control center appearance. So that's where I could drag something down or open some window and get instant access to the flashlight, to turn on or off my Wi-Fi or Bluetooth or other connections, these kinds of things right there as simple control center things. That's been on Android for a while, certainly in many of the ROMs out there that you can install on Android phones. Now it's coming to iOS. The unlock screen for iOS 7, the first time I saw it, I thought, why are they showing an Android phone? Because it looks so much like an Android phone where you can swipe from different directions and you get different functionalities from the unlock screen or lock screen, whatever you want to call it. The notification center is also cool, but also very familiar with the way that many notification center mods work with Android and just Android mods as well. And again, I think it's good that they're implementing these things, but it's kind of a little disappointing to see them implementing what's been around for a while and not making many amazing jumps in iOS 7. The multitasking look to it has been very similar to what Android has been doing since, I believe, Honeycomb, which is Android 3.0 for tablets. And then they're Share 2 thing with the new AirDrop system, and what else is in there? They never really mentioned much about the Share 2, what they call it, shelf or drawer. And I'm wondering if they are finally opening this up. This is the thing I miss the most, being on iOS now instead of on Android. Is on Android, I could share from any app to any app. I loved that. It was so easy to do that. On iPhone, that is not there unless developers really implement certain things and there are URL structures and all of this stuff. That it can get messy. And right now, I want to see Apple implement a Share 2 API that allows developers to plug into this and install their own apps into the Share 2. We didn't see if iOS 7 has that, but I'd love to see that. And then the last observation of iOS 7 borrowing from something else is actually, I think, borrowing from Windows 7. The whole layers appearance of iOS 7, which looks pretty good. I think it hinders readability a little bit here and there, but where it blurs out things or it gives you the impression of different layers, that really reminds me of Windows 7 and what it did with the way that Windows would start functioning like layers and modifying what's behind them in the backgrounds and responding to the environment a little bit, environment being where your mouse cursor is. But so despite the fact that they're borrowing from a lot of other platforms and a lot of stuff from Android, I really do think iOS 7 is going in a good direction. I'm looking forward to getting it on my iPhone 5 and iPad. But at the same time, I also see that they're doing more things to kill some competition in certain areas. I see them killing competition in 3 main areas, and you've probably heard this already. But the new iCloud keychain, I think, is great to have that built in. It totally makes sense. I don't use Safari on my computer. I use Chrome for my browser, and I use LastPass as my password manager. iCloud Keychain is almost a competition killer to LastPass and 1Password and similar password managers that sync across multiple devices. I wouldn't say it is going to kill that competition, because the iCloud Keychain only really makes sense for people who use iCloud-based products on all of these platforms, like Safari. I do not want to use Safari on my computer. I want to use Google Chrome. So iCloud Keychain may be useless to me on the desktop unless LastPass gets really smart and figures out a way to synchronize LastPass with iCloud Keychain. That could be awesome. iTunes Radio, as you can guess, is trying to kill off Pandora and, in a way, Spotify. But I think, again, this is a great move for Apple in that they are going to start being able to build stations probably from the music you already have. They might recommend a station based on what you like. Pandora, you have to build your likes on iTunes on at the iOS platform. They can look probably, I don't know if they'll use this, but they might be able to look at what songs are you regularly playing on your phone or on your iPod or through iTunes. What are your favorites that you keep going back to? And then recommend an iTunes Radio that's based on those favorites. That could be an awesome way to work with it. Sort of a pre-populated Pandora, in a sense. What I'd also like to see them do with this, since they're calling it iTunes Radio, and I hate it when people use multiple media terms when they don't necessarily apply, like radio in the internet world is not, it's mixing terms that aren't really supposed to mix. But if they're going to call it iTunes Radio, I think they should also put podcasts in there. I know podcasts aren't radio, and I don't like calling them radio, but they're like radio and like radio shows. So if they're going to call this iTunes Radio, then I think adding podcasts into this could also be a good mix. Maybe it would be something where it looks at what podcasts you're playing in the podcast app and then brings that into iTunes Radio and says, you might also like this, or we've built a station for you that's on this topic that you like, tech news, podcasting, a particular TV show, movies, whatever it is, it might build that for you. I could see many different ways that they could go with iTunes Radio. That can be a great way of exposing people to more content on their devices. For podcasters, I think this is a great opportunity that they could potentially receive more exposure for their podcasts if iTunes Radio adds podcasting. They never mentioned podcasts in their presentations, and some people may be concerned because they didn't show the podcast app on iOS 7, but I'm not surprised by that because the podcast app, just like several other official Apple apps for iOS, are add-ons to iOS 7. They're not defaulted with iOS 7. And then also, I really think that Siri is killing its main competitor, Siri. The new Siri sounds great, and I think it's going in an interesting direction. I think the way that they put it on the website of saying, Siri now shows you when it's listening to you kind of thing, it's a little bit pointless because Siri did that before. But I think the new voice sounds good. For website owners, which many of you listening to this probably own a website, maybe own a podcast too, a very, very important thing to take into consideration now with Siri being updated in iOS 7 is you may have caught this in the keynote if you watched it. Siri's default search engine, maybe you can change it, I don't know. They didn't say anything about it, but both on the website and in their presentation, they said that Siri will bring web search results in from Bing, not Google, but Bing would be the search engine for Siri. However, over in Safari, they were talking about Google as the search engine, and you already know that you can change the search engine inside of Safari. But it's really interesting that they're using Bing for Siri. This means, I think, that if you have a website or a podcast, you definitely need to focus more on how you rank to Bing, not just to Google. You should have always been concerned about how you look to Bing, but now I think it will receive higher priority. And of course, with the launch of iOS 7, there will be new hardware. I'll give you my predictions on what I think is coming in new hardware. And these are just predictions. I've seen some of the rumors. I follow the sites like MacRumors.com and other sites, and I enjoy reading these rumors and theorizing myself over what might be coming. But some of my predictions of what could be coming in the next versions of the hardware. Well, let's look at iPhone 5S is probably what they'll call it, which will be a nightmare for font issues, but since 5 and S look very similar in legibility. And the whole S thing, I don't like how they're adding S's to things. Maybe they'll change that this fall by calling it just the iPhone 6. But my prediction for iPhone 5S would be they've got to have something that makes this phone more compelling over the last phone instead of just performance enhancements, which I think there will be those too, like the same old kind of stuff, like it's going to be a faster CPU, it'll have a better camera, it might have more RAM. I wouldn't be surprised if they have a 128 gigabyte version of the iPhone come out this fall. And of course, there are rumors of a cheaper iPhone, but none of those are really that compelling above an iPhone 5. Of course, the screen size difference between 5 and 4 are there, but look back at when iPhone 4S came out. It was the same physical design of the iPhone 4. It was faster. It had all of those spec and performance enhancements, legal performance enhancements, that is. But the iPhone 4S added Siri, and iPhone 4 didn't get Siri. So I'm looking at what kind of things will Apple do that will take advantage of better hardware, that you know they're going to put better hardware in it, and you know it's going to be the most amazing iPhone ever, which is always the case. Come on, stop using that line, Apple. But what I think they're going to do will be software-based to take advantage of the new hardware. I'm expecting to see that Siri voice recognition will work on iPhone 5S without a data connection, that using all of that processing power and maybe larger storage on the new iPhones, Siri will be able to interpret your voice, transcribe it, understand it. All the voice transcribing, everything voice related, will work without a data connection on iPhone 5S and above. That's my prediction, but I think that would be a great direction for them to go, because I've run into that several times where I've asked Siri to do something, I've told her to do something, And I don't need a data connection for that action, but I need a data connection for her to understand what I said. So if I'm in an area with weak data, I can't set up a reminder just by using Siri. If I want to jot out a quick note or anything like that, I can't do it with a weak data connection, or it's really slow, thus killing the whole purpose of Siri's convenience and speed. So I could see internal or offline voice recognition being built into iPhone 5S. As far as new features and functionality, I don't know that there would really be other things out there. Yeah, iPhone, or Apple rather, is looking at some patenting some fingerprint recognition stuff and some other things, but these could all be things that could be far down the line. As far as iPad, I think iPad and iPad mini probably going the same direction. Of course, enhancements. The iPad 5 will probably also have a slightly revised design to look more like the iPad mini and iPhone, with a new kind of slate look to it, and probably also adjusting the screen size. I'd love to see the iPad 5 be lighter weight. I have an iPad 3, and this thing is pretty heavy when you try and read a book from it. That's where the iPad minis are getting really popular. And I can see maybe the same thing on the iPad 5 of receiving possibly a voice recognition without a data connection, but it's probably less relevant on the iPad than it is on the iPhone, since the iPhone's more of a personal assistant than other devices. So those are my predictions on iOS 7 and also what Apple might be doing with future iOS devices. I'd love to hear what you think about it too, and please check out the show notes over at techpodcasts.com for this episode 101, and you can comment there or follow me on Twitter at TheRamenNoodle to let me know what you think of iOS 7 and what might be coming in future Apple hardware. I also host a podcast on Tech Podcast Network called The Audacity Podcast. It won the award for the number one tech podcast in 2012, and it's where I teach you how to podcast or how to improve your podcast with success. I frequently talk about Audacity too, but most of my content applies to any kind of podcaster and really helping you podcast with passion, organization, and dialogue. You can check that out at theaudacitytopodcast.com. I also host many other podcasts about a variety of topics like clean comedy. I host a podcast about the TV show Once Upon a Time. I host a podcast have other podcasts on the network about movie reviews with Christian critical thinking, productivity, information and tips and stuff that's more than just the tools, Christian worldview, and more cool stuff coming as well. So you can check out all of my podcasts over at noodle.mx, and I'd love to have you listening there and love to hear feedback from you for those other podcasts. Thank you for listening to this, and please check out techpodcasts.com for more technology podcasts, all family-friendly and all great content. I'm Daniel J. Lewis from theaudacitytopodcast.com and on Twitter at TheRamenNoodle. Thank you for listening.